Good evening and welcome to the 2025 Baccalaureate Service. My name is Slayton Carter. I'm the class president, and I want to thank you all for coming. I'd like to take a quick moment of silence for our fallen members, Lillian and Ethan. So if y'all would just take a second, bow your heads for them. Second of all, I want to thank everybody, parents who have supported all of our students here, not only through their school career, but also through their faith as well. This means a lot that we have this much of an outcome come to Baccalaureate, so let's give a round of applause for that. Lastly, I want to thank all of our administration, Ms. Barnes, Mr. Caldwell, Mr. Booth, Ms. Evans, Ms. Young. If I forgot anybody else, I'm sorry. Get things started tonight. We're going to try to get this done not too long. I completely went blank. Who's supposed to come up? Would Lucy Litchfield please come up and lead us in our invocation?
Good evening. Please bow your head with me as I pray. Dear Lord, thank you for bringing us all here together tonight. Allow us to move from this place in honor of you. Lord, bless the reading of your holy word. Bless the teachings of Brother Carter and Mr. Bush bringing tonight. Grant us the courage to walk boldly into the future, trusting that the same God who brought us this far will continue to lead us on. Lord, we thank you for the gift of education, for the knowledge we have gained, the friendships we have built, and the growth we have experienced. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the teachers, mentors, families, and friends who have supported and encouraged us along the way. As we prepare to step into a new chapter of life, we ask for your divine protection. Watch over us in our travels, in our celebrations, and in all the paths we take from here. Shield us from harm, guide our decisions, and surround us with your presence. May we shine for you in every situation you have called us to. May we never forget to give you the glory in all that we do. In Jesus' precious and holy name I pray. Amen.
Hello, I'm introducing the band. Tonight's performance is important because it's the band's last. I'm going to introduce the seniors: Mary Kate Ricks, Aaron Sanchez, Bailey Roberts, Haley Ryan, Aiden Wilson, and Olivia Over. Will y'all please stand up and make your way to the band? Let's celebrate their talent and all they've brought to the school.
Oh, yeah!
As the band members are making their way back to their seats, I'd like to introduce our worship for the night. We have McKenna Fisher, Gavin Klein, and Caleb Klein. They're going to sing Another in the Fire. So if y'all would like to stand and worship with us, that'd be amazing. Thank you.
Thank you for coming to Class of 2025's Baccalaureate. I'm honored to introduce our first speaker of the night, Tim Bush.
Thank you guys for that. Everybody needs a cheering section like the clan over here. Oh, you guys are doing good. I do appreciate it. I am honored and blessed to be here. The biggest decision I have to make right now is whether to use my notes or just talk to you. My wife says, absolutely, you better use those notes. Shout out to all the Baptists up there in the back row. And in all seriousness, there's probably about, I've counted, I've tried to look around, there's about 7 or 8 preachers in the building, and I definitely don't feel like I'm the person that needs to be up here talking to you guys, but I'm truly honored that you guys decided that I would be part of this night, and I do appreciate that, truly from the bottom of my heart, so thank you guys for that. As I look at you guys, I have truly some mixed emotions because I love every one of you, but some of you really, really, really got on my nerves. and I know that's probably shared by the crowd, both of those emotions. And that's true, but it's from the heart, but it's true, okay? But I really do love you guys, and I hope that tonight we can share a little bit. Some words of encouragement, but most of all, I just want to talk to you about Jesus. This has been a weird year, to say the least, but I really hope and pray that you have made this your only chance to be a senior the best year of your high school years. You're going to get 4 chances to be in high school, 4 years, most of you, and you never get that time back. And I know I talked to a lot of you last year that had some differing emotions. And I hope you listened to me when I said, you don't get it back. You got to make the best of your 4 years, and this is your last one. And I hope that's what you did. I know a lot of you did because I've seen some things you've done in places you've been. So I know that did happen for a lot of you. So I want to take a few minutes to share some biblical truth with you. And maybe a little bit of Tim Bush truth, too. Last year's graduation, I talked about being ready to hit curveballs because life throws them at you. And I think it's very fitting for tonight. But also, I'm an old baseball coach, so a lot of my resources come from those experiences. But I'll tell you that I saw this one the other day, and I thought it's perfect. And that is, the only thing that's fair in life lands between first base and third base on a baseball field. That's the only thing that you can count as being fair. I like to say that fair is where pigs go to get ribbons, which is also still true. But the things you're about to encounter, probably some things you've already encountered, probably not going to be fair. So what does all that mean? Or where am I going with that? First of all, you don't need to worry about what's fair. You've got to live a life seeking a calling. I'm going to talk about what that calling is here in just a second. So you don't worry about what's fair. You live your life seeking out your calling. Now, I might say some things, honestly, at the very beginning of this you might not agree with, but just hang on with me for a few minutes, okay? Just hang on. So what is your calling or your purpose? What are you here for? Why did God decide tonight that you'd be sitting right here? Tomorrow night you'll be sitting here again, walking across the stage. Why did he decide for you to be right here? So a lot of people say that you're called to be a nurse, doctor, lawyer, maybe a business executive, teacher. That's not really wrong, but it's not exactly true either. Okay? Because in 1 Corinthians 1:9, the Bible says, God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. It also says in 2 Timothy 1:9, along the same note, He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of what we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. So the Bible, God's word is really clear about your calling. God's calling you. He's calling me. He's calling us in this room to have a saving relationship and fellowship with Jesus Christ. So what does that mean for your career? Because I'm not telling you to not go have a career, not go have a job, and not go have a life. But it does mean that whether you're a top research doctor, a huge corporate lawyer, custodian, or even a lowly high school principal, you're called to be a follower of Jesus. There is no doubt that the Bible's clear about that. Jesus was clear about that while He was here on this earth. That our career is what we use to showcase our calling to follow Jesus Christ. Our job, our family, whatever it is. People aren't wrong, but I just want to be clear about this. Some people say, well, I was called to be a mother. Awesome. That's great. You should serve and follow God while you're being a mother. The Bible has said, I'm not a Bible scholar, I promise. Long way from it. But I've not read or seen or heard a sermon about a scripture that says you should go be a XYZ. You should be a doctor, or you should be a lawyer, or you should be. But I have read for myself where it says you should follow Christ and that you are called to follow Christ. So when that stuff gets confusing on what you want to do and what you want to be, and some of you know right now, I'm going to go be whatever. You're going to be a history teacher. You're going to be a game warden. You're going to be a police officer. You're going to be a business executive. You're going to be those things. That is awesome, and that's what you should strive to be. But my plea to you, my encouragement to you tonight is that you use that to be a follower of Christ in all that you do. Following Jesus and teaching others about Him is why we're here. I promise you this. When you have one of those several million moments in your life that you don't think are fair, Jesus will see you through them. Trust me on this. Trust me on this. Jesus held my hand more than once through tough stuff, tough moments. But if you've got Jesus, that's all it'll ever be is a tough moment. It will not define you, nor should it. About this time last year, I answered a lot of questions about how I dealt with certain issues. My answer was the same every time. Jesus. He had a plan all along, and He does that for you too. He knows exactly where you're going to be and where He wants you. He's calling you to stay with Him and follow Him. Seniors, I'm so honored to be able to stand before you and be able to share some last words with you as a class. But mostly, I'm so proud to be able to talk to you about Jesus all together tonight. I pray that each one of you will listen closely, especially to the next guy. I love you. Wildcats forever.
It is now my pleasure to introduce our second speaker of the night, Justin Carter.
Tim didn't use his whole 10 minutes, so I get a couple more. I was banking on using 5 minutes because I figured Tim would use 15, but he didn't. We are glad you are here. I'm going to talk about Jesus too because we get to do that tonight. And there's no better place, no place I'd rather be tonight than in front of you guys. I love you guys, a lot of you. I know I've known a lot of you. And I got to see you all go all the way through high school. Slayton moved here whenever he was an eighth grader. Middle of the eighth grade year, right after Christmas is when he started. Y'all might not know this. Mackenzie slid into his DMs after a class one day. She just wanted to be a friend, is all it was. But a lot of you guys have been friends to my son and have loved him and put up with him and me and Lindsay. And that was good, wasn't it? You liked that, didn't you? I could have said other things, but I didn't. That's all there is about that, I promise. There's no other. But y'all being good, and I love you guys. And the you all that I don't know, but I just know your faces, I love y'all too. And I want to talk to you about Jesus tonight too. And along the lines of what Tim said, along the lines of the song, you're going to have troubles. You're going to have troubles. And I'm going to read you a set of verses that I'm sure has never been read at a baccalaureate service ever. And you probably heard it if you came to church on Easter at Cadence Baptist, you heard it. You probably heard it on Easter. Here's what it is. It's in John chapter 20, starting in verse 11. What's happened is Easter Sunday has come. The grave is empty. Mary Magdalene has gone to the grave with some other ladies, another gospel says, and they're going to prepare the body for burial. They put spices on it and rewrap it and do all that stuff. So they're going to take care of Jesus because they loved him and they followed him and they were doing what was right. And if you know the story, hopefully you do, she gets to the tomb and it's wide open and nobody's in there. Now, picture this before we read. The person you've given your life to and followed the last 3 years, you love the most, more than anybody in the world, not only has died in the last few days, but now his body is gone. I would imagine for Mary Magdalene, that was the most hurt she had ever been. The most confused she had ever been. The most sorrow she had ever felt. I can imagine that was the day. I mean, his death was bad. You lost somebody. But now you've lost the body. Who has done this? And in verse 11, it says, Mary stood outside the tomb crying. And as she was crying, she stopped to look into the tomb. She saw two angels in white sitting where Jesus' body had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "Because they've taken away my Lord," she told them, "and I don't know where they put him." Having said this, she turned around and she saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know it was Jesus. "Woman," Jesus said to her, "why are you crying? Who is it that you're seeking?" And supposing he was the gardener, she replied, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned around, and another gospel says she went and worshiped him and grabbed him by the feet. The most hurt this lady has ever been in her life. And Jesus shows up. And that's what I want to talk to you just for a few minutes about tonight. Because you and I, I've had them. You've probably maybe already had some. You're going to have worse ones. I hate to tell you that. That's good for a baccalaureate service, isn't it? You're going to have worse things happen to you. Just get ready. We're all going to have those empty tomb moments where our sorrow is so much and we're so disappointed and the hurt is so deep and we're so confused and there's a challenge in front of us. You're all going to have them. But when that happens, two things I want to challenge you with today. Number one, if you see somebody in one of those empty tomb moments where the hurt is so unbearable, you better go to them. You better go to them. If you see somebody, because you know when you're in that time, you needed somebody. When Mary was at her lowest point, who came to her? Jesus. Who was the worst off that morning, at that moment in time when Jesus had rose from the grave? It wasn't the disciples who were waiting in town. It wasn't anybody else. It was Mary who saw the tomb empty. And she was distraught more than she had ever been, more than anybody else on the world at that moment. She had the most hurt. And who did Jesus come to? He didn't go to the palace. He didn't go to the temple. He didn't go to the marketplace and go, "Here I am, I'm back, I did it." He went to the one who needed him the most. If you and I are going to have a character like Jesus, if you say you're a follower of Jesus, and I hope everybody in here is, but I know everybody in here is not. I know this is just something that It's the pageantry, and you do it for graduation, and some of you are here for that tonight. But I'm telling you this, if you're a follower of Jesus tonight, your character looks like Jesus. We reflect His character. And when that happens, that means we go to people who are hurting. You go to them. You have no idea the people sitting beside you right now, the people that you passed in the hall every day, the people that you said things to, the people that you've had class with, that have thought, I'm not worthy of this world. You have no idea the people that have done that and had put on a happy face and made it look like everything's okay because of the stuff you've said to them, because of the way you've treated them. That ain't Jesus, guys. That's nowhere near Jesus. You see somebody that's hurting, you run to them. You're there for them. You're there. That's what godly character looks like. If you're a follower of Jesus, you've got to do that. Or you might be fooling yourself. Second thing I want you to know is this. You got to know that Jesus will do that for you anytime. Anytime. In your deepest hurt, in your biggest sorrow, in your biggest disappointment, when the biggest challenge of your life comes up, when you get taken away from a job that you love unexpectedly, guess what? He's going to be right there. When there's an empty tomb and you have no idea what's going on and that hurt is so much, He's going to find you and He's going to be there. Mary was so distraught. This is why we know she was crazy distraught. She talked to two angels and didn't even bat an eye. Did you hear that? Two angels in the tomb and they say, hey, what's going on? She didn't even bat an eye. And then she turns around and Jesus is there, who she knows and loves. And she's so distraught that she sees Jesus and she thinks He's a gardener. Can you imagine that? You ever hurt that much before that you don't even know right from left? That's where she was. And it was at that moment that Jesus came to her. And it's at that moment Jesus will be in your corner too. It's at that moment, if you're a follower of Jesus, He will be there for you. He did it for Mary at the tomb. He will do it for you. He's not distant. He's not hiding. He knows you. He created you. He loves you. He's there for you always. You know how you can remember that? Well, you can cling to His Word. You can stay connected to Him in prayer. You can trust Him when He's guiding you in life. You can surround yourself with godly influence. There's a lot of things you can do to know that God's always there with you and to remember that He's always there. But the most important thing tonight that goes beyond that is this. In order for Jesus to be there for you, you've got to be a follower of His. You've got to be a follower of His tonight. That means a few things. And Scripture says, first off, that you've got to know you're a sinner. Every one of us in here, from the preacher to the whoever else, is a sinner. We're dirty, rotten sinners. I need Jesus every stinking day of my life. I need Him. You need Him. Romans 3:23 says, everybody has sinned. We all fall short of what God's glory is. That's perfection. None of us are perfect. We've all sinned. Romans 6:20, or Romans 5:8, sorry, says, but when we were sinners, in the middle of that worst sin you've ever committed, you know what Jesus chose to do? He knew you were going to do it. He chose to hang on a cross for you and for me. That's what He did. You know why He had to do that? You know why He had to take our sin for us? Because you and I can't do anything about it. Now, in life, we don't get that sometimes, because in life, that's different. In life, that's different. If I want a good clarinet player, I'll find Mary Kate and be like, all right, Mary Kate, let's rock and roll. If I need somebody to hit a three-pointer, I'll be like, all right, Reese Bush, let's do this. We're going to hit a three-pointer. I need you. If I need to strike somebody out, I'm calling Aiden Butts. I'm going to be like, Aiden, we got to have you. But you know what? None of us can do anything with our sin, because we're sinners. It's like asking Aiden to strike somebody out and his arms hurt. It's like asking Reese to shoot a three-pointer with a blindfold on. It's like telling Mary Kate to play a clarinet and the reed's not even in it. See, I know a little bit about clarinets. And the reed's not even in it. That means you wouldn't be able to play it and make noise, okay? You and I are sinners. How are we going to get rid of sin if we're in the middle of it? We can't do it. So Jesus, whenever we're sinners, he died for us. And then Romans 6:23 says, for the wages or the payment of sin is death. You're going to go out and get a job. Some of you already have jobs. Some of you are going to go to college and then get a job. You're going to get payments when you do a job. Do you know what sin pays out? Death. Death. Sin pays out death every single time. But it says the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You want to know how you can know Jesus today? You know you're a sinner. You know you need a Savior. You know you can't get out of it on your own. You know you need to trust in somebody who is greater than you, and his name's Jesus. You want to know how to do that? Romans 10:9-10 says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, confess. Just say who he really is. You say, God, I know you sent your son, Jesus. I know you came for me. I know you died for me. I know you're perfect. I know you can forgive me of my sins. I need you to come into my life and save me. He says if you'll say that, and then it says if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that everything about him was true, Scripture says you will be saved. Saved for all eternity. My favorite verse of that whole thing is verse 13 in chapter 10. It says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everybody who calls out to Jesus, he'll save you. Scripture says there is no one that he won't accept. You might be here today, lost as a goose, but you can leave here a follower of Jesus. He will change your life today. I promise you he will. You want to know how to be able to handle things like Mr. Bush when life throws you a curveball? You got to have Jesus. You want to know how to handle those empty tomb moments that come up in your life, like Mary did? You got to have Jesus. You think she'd have handled it well if Jesus hadn't have been there? No, she wouldn't have. She needed Jesus. You need Jesus today. If you need Jesus, listen, there's plenty of pastors in here. Addie's dad's up there. Gavin and Caleb's dad's up there. I'm here. You find a preacher in here tonight. Or find somebody that you trust. Say, listen, I don't know how to do it, but I'm going to give my life to Jesus. And I tell you what, any of those guys and any more of them that are in here will tell you exactly how to give your life to Jesus tonight. They'll show you in Scripture what it means to be saved. You can leave here. Graduation would be the second best thing to happen to you this week. And the best thing to happen to you would be you give your life to Jesus. There's no better way to start off a graduation than to go, you know what, I'm a brand new person tonight. I'm going to give my life to Jesus. You need him. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. Thank you for the chance to come and share with the kids, Lord, just the good news that you are. And in those empty tomb moments, Jesus, those times where life throws us curveballs, those times where we have troubles, you are the one that's there. I'm so grateful for the way that you put together Tim and mine's message before we even knew it. I'm so glad that you put the song that you did tonight, Lord, without even asking them about it. Man, you were all over this. We thank you for it, Jesus. Thank you for being there for us. Always. Thank you for running to us when we need you. Help us to show that same love and that same concern to others. And Jesus, help us not to leave here until we know you. We ask it in your name. Amen.
Please to introduce Gavin Klein for the benediction.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I want to thank you for this night, God. I thank you that you just pour your love into us each and every day, God. I thank you for the class of 2025. God, I thank you that our story is not over, but it's just the end of a chapter, God. So right now, I pray a fire over this group, God. I pray that you would fill us up, God, and that each and every day as we go through our lives, God, that your presence would just be there with us. Jesus, I thank you that you are a full and loving God, that you are true to your word. I thank you that no matter where we go and no matter what we do in this life, God, that you are going to be there for us. So right now, I thank you for safe travels as we go home. I ask that you would just keep us safe. It's in Jesus' name that I pray.
Before we leave, I just want to remind you that if you are considering giving your life to Jesus tonight, please do not take that time, because we know, even in our own class, that you don't know if you're going to make it home tonight. You don't know if you're going to make it even out of this parking lot. So don't take time for granted, because the more time you take for granted, the longer you're going to spend away from Jesus and his eternal life and everything that comes with that. So thank you all for coming tonight. Parents, grandparents, faculty, staff, thank you all for coming. You are dismissed.